Good morning, everyone. This morning, we are in Romans chapter 6. We ended chapter 5 with really the good news of the gospel. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 5 that the law came in so that the transgression would increase. Essentially, we got the Old Testament law to realize how sinful we were. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, our sin would separate us from God and even put us under the wrath of God, even so grace would reign, would rule through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's God's grace, God's favor, God's kindness to us, God's blessing to us, because while we were still sinners and before we were ever even born, now in this era, Jesus Christ came to die. And because God gave that to us as a gift, we now, through faith, can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and we are blessed to have the grace of God. You know, you can know that, like, let's say today you make a mistake. Let's say today you get angry and you swear, or you were to steal something today, or you were to be unkind, or, you know, you could go to God and be like, God, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do that, and I did, and Lord, help me. I want to do better, God. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins through the cross of Jesus. I too believe in you, and I believe you died and rose. And he can not only give you strength to overcome, but he gives you grace to forgive you of your sin. And praise God that we live in a day and age where we have the grace of God. Now, I've already kind of indicated a little bit about what our proper response is, even in just this little 2-minute preview to chapter 6. But because the grace of God is so good, and because we can be forgiven of any and all, and no matter what we've done, God is reconciling you and redeeming you and placing you back in a relationship and giving you peace with God. Because this grace is so good, it anticipates the question, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And some live that way today, you know, like, I'm forgiven by Jesus, so really it doesn't matter what I do, how I live. I can live any old way I want. I have, and this is an incorrect view of freedom, I have freedom, and people view that as almost like a license to live in sin. And really, the freedom that God has given us is, we were in bondage to sin. We just couldn't really stop. It was like we had this lustful heart and flesh that's always in us, and we just couldn't get ourselves to stop sinning, and it was a bondage. We were in prison to it and the penalty of it, but Jesus Christ came, and he gave us freedom, meaning we're not in bondage to that sin anymore. The chains that were holding us in sin have been cut, and we've been given the grace of God and the Spirit of God, so that now we can live for him. And this is what Paul's beginning to say, is, are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Because we have so much grace, can we just live in sin? And he say, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin, see, really, we're supposed to die to our old ways, die to our old man, die to living to that sinful nature of the past. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves or in bondage to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. See, there's our freedom. We're freed from sin. And this is a significant aspect to both Christian living and also baptism. You know, Jesus Christ died, and then he rose from the dead, and he died to take our sin. And when we get baptized, it's a symbol of acknowledging that Jesus Christ has died for us. And, you know, if we were to put someone underwater and hold someone underwater, they would die. And in a sense, baptism is a symbol of dying. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to die to my old way. I'm going to die to trying to get to heaven on my own. I'm going to die to sin. And I'm going to also acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for me. And then when I come up out of that water, I'm going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to rise to new life. I'm going to rise to living a new life now. And I'm also in faith now because of believing in him and following through in baptism. One day when my time is done, I'm going to rise just like Jesus did from the dead. Hallelujah. And that's what baptism is. It's a commitment and a pledge to say, I want to live for Jesus now. I'm done with my old way. I want to live the new way. And hallelujah. And, you know, very briefly, I want to give you a historical understanding is that the very first command given to mankind was, I've created you in my image and likeness, and I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And God, in chapter 1 of Genesis, repeats that several times and throughout the Bible about us being fruitful and multiply. But he also repeats the fact that he's created us in his image and likeness. God wants his goodness and his character, his being, to be reflected in us. He wants us to live like him. Not that we're going to be God, but that we are going to be more Christ-like, that we're going to try to live a godly life, that we're going to try to live a life that honors him. And that's always been the goal. And then that through our faith in him and our living to reflect who he is, that we would seek to multiply that in people, in our children, in our neighbors, in our churches, in people we come into contact with. We want them to know of Jesus, embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we want them to begin to bear the image of God, be image bearers, try to reflect more of who God is to this world, and that they would get on the same mission then, that helping others to know Jesus and bear his image and to take the mission to be fruitful and multiply. So, you know, after mankind really struggled to do that, you might recall God flooded the earth because after they got kicked out of the garden, they multiplied. They did that part, but they were multiplying a sinful version of mankind. And after it was just filled with corrupt and wickedness, God flooded the earth. He started over. Then he started over with Abraham, and then we got the Israelites, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then through Moses, we got the law. So that this the law was God's guidance, God's instruction to help man to live to reflect him. And when they didn't, then they would offer a sacrifice, and they had the sacrificial system. But now today, God's saying, you know what, I wanted you to be obedient to that law and live for me, and you could have, but you didn't, and what it did is it showed you how sinful you were, but now God is doing it in a new covenant, in a new way, but he's after the same mission, do you see? He now had Jesus Christ come to die, to give us the grace of God, the forgiveness, because we never could live to the standard, and now he's empowered us through the power of his Holy Spirit to live for him. So although now we've been made right by God through faith in him, now he wants us to live rightly in honor of him, and he's still after us being image bearers of God who would be fruitful and multiply. So it would only make sense that once we've received this grace and this forgiveness, that we would accept that torch, that responsibility of saying, you know what, I want to try to be and live to be a man of God, and God's going to help me. And his Spirit's going to empower me to do it. And I want to put away the old self and live the new way for Jesus Christ. And when I fail, when I sin, I thank God for his grace that I have his forgiveness. But it's not a permit to just keep living it apart from God or in sin. It's a power. God's grace is also a power to overcome and to live for the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we are not under the bondage of our sin. We're not chained to that anymore. We've been set free and been given power to live a new life. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe, verse 8, we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, you know, embrace living for God. Embrace turning away from sin. And if there's a sin that you are permitting in your life right now, you're just letting go ongoing in your life, get rid of it in the name of Jesus. Put it to death. Put that old man to death and live the new way in Jesus Christ. God's strengthened you. He's given you His grace. He's given you His Spirit. Go burn it. Go throw it out. Go get rid of it. Get rid of whatever it is that is entangling you in sin, because God's freed you from its power and you can overcome, in Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let sin rule in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And any man, any woman out there getting involved in pornography, any kind of thing like that, get rid of it. Die to that. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, hallelujah, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. See, now we've been made right through faith, but now we want to present our bodies as instruments of righteousness. We want to live rightly because we're on God's mission to reflect who He is, to be image bearers, and to be fruitful and multiply. For sin shall not be master over you. Hallelujah. Sin has no master over us anymore. God's reigning in us. God's ruling in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. His tabernacle is in us. He's with us all the time. And therefore, He can help us rule over sin instead of sin ruling over us. For you are not under law, but under grace. We've received grace. Now, the problem with grace, it's not a problem with grace. It's a problem of a lack of understanding of grace. And I'll tell you what, if you look that word up, charis, that might not be the correct pronunciation, but it's C-H-A-R-I-S in Greek. If you were to look that word up, you will see that it also includes power. It's God's power, His gifts, His favor, His kindness. And sometimes we look at grace as just His forgiveness, meaning I can just keep on living the way I'm living, and God just keeps on forgiving, and there's some truth to His forgiveness, which is so amazing. But yet, if we don't know what grace means, and we don't know that God has given us favor and power to overcome, we might not be living the way we should, because we don't realize we've been empowered on high and we've died to our old way and now we're living the new way. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? See, grace is not a permit to sin. May it never be, Paul says again. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? And if you are living in sin, you're being a slave to sin, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Remember what the purpose of this book was? That we'd have faith leading to obedience, that our faith would result in obedience. And here we see it again in chapter 6. When we present ourselves to God, it should be for obedience resulting in righteousness. Even though we've been given right standing through faith, now we seek to live rightly. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, so you used to be in bondage to sin, you became obedient from the heart. There's the obedience again. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you are committed. Now that's important. To that form of teaching to which you are committed. You know, what teaching are you under? Listen, I'm a human. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to honor the Lord and give you a true, whole counsel, biblical form of teaching. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in our world that are under incorrect forms of teaching. They're under watered down forms of teaching. And if you are not receiving good teaching about the standard of God and what He's trying to accomplish in us to be image bearers and to be fruitful and multiply, and that we're dead to sin and alive to Him, if you're not hearing that, if a person's not hearing in that world, they won't have the right form of teaching, and they many times won't rise to the level that God is hoping to raise us up to because they're not being taught it. And so it's really important that you become a student of the word and not a compromised word. There's so much of that out there. There's so much false teaching out there today. And, the true word of God will challenge you. It'll convict you. It'll call you to live a holy life. Hallelujah. And having been, verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, really, we're slaves. You know what? And I don't mind being a slave of righteousness or a slave to God. God wants it to go well with us. And there is blessing in living for God. And, you know, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and know that His ways are best and they lead to blessing not only in this life but in the life to come, it makes me desire to be a slave of right living, to be a slave to try to seek to honor our Lord. Then he says in verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, and that's the way we were apart from Christ. We just were surrendered to our sinful living in our flesh, resulting in further lawlessness. So now, present your members, present your bodies as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. And sanctification is being set apart, being made holy. And there's an aspect of that, that when we come to faith in Jesus because He took our sin, we've been made right, we've been made holy. We, in a sense, are in a condition where because Jesus took our sin, we're in right standing with God. But then there's also the process of sanctification where in our lives, because we're partnering with God and now we have the power of His grace and His Holy Spirit living in us, and we too seek to live honorably and rightly before God, we are in a process of becoming more holy. We, you know, Lord willing, you can look at your life before and now, and Lord willing, 5 years, 10 years, and as you begin to head home to our Lord, and that you begin to look more like Him. Remember, that was what God was calling us to be image bearers, to reflect His image and likeness and be fruitful and multiply. And sanctification is that process of becoming more holy for God as we grow in Him. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? And you know what? When you look at, and I look at my life prior to Christ, living in sin, you know that there's consequences to sin. It'll mess up your life. Sin will mess up your life. And what did we derive from those things? Well, it may have been fun in the moment, but the consequences surely aren't fun. And you know what I find now? I find now, not living in sin and living for the Lord, there's blessing. He wants it to go well with us, and it does go well with us. And I think life is so much better living for Jesus and not having the consequences of our sin, but yet rather the blessings of God. And we should be ashamed of sinful living. We should be ashamed of the things we had done in the past. But praise God, now He has forgiven us of those things. For the outcomes of those things is death. And you know what? Living apart from God and living in sin, the consequence is ultimately death and separation from God now and forever. But now, having been freed from sin, and there we have it again, the correct understanding of freedom in Christ, it's being free from the bondage of sin and free from the law. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. And there is a benefit resulting in sanctification, greater holiness, and the outcome, eternal life. And, you know, I hope that eternal life is something that you ponder daily, that you think, you know what, one day when this life is done, I'm going to be with the Lord forever. And there's the reward of heaven, hallelujah, and there's also rewards in heaven. There's rewards in heaven for how you live your life for the Lord here. And it's good to meditate and reflect upon that and have that motivate us. And, you know, it's even when things are really challenging in this life too, when there's real struggles and dark days in this life, knowing it's going to come to an end, our body's going to be restored in heaven, and that we're going to be with the Lord forever, that's encouraging, and it gives us the strength and hope to make it through the difficult days of this life. And then finally, a really terrific verse to close this chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death. You know, when you work, you get a wage, right? I'm talking about a job. And what it's saying here is that if you work in sin, if you live in sin, the thing you receive because of that is death. You receive death and separation from God. But hallelujah, the free gift, God gave it to us before we were ever born, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing gift that is. You know, more Christians, I'll tell you what, we need to live in the constant reality that we've been promised the gift of eternal life. That will turn our frown around. That will allow us to have joy in this life. We should be confident in the fact that we're going to live forever with the Lord because of what Jesus Christ did in our faith in Him. Hallelujah. And you know what? That gift is it's an amazing gift. Is there a better gift in the world than that one? Well, with that gift, you know what? I want to honor the one who gave it to me. And may we live to honor the one who's given us the gift of eternal life. God bless you all.